This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. When Joel Tannenbaum downloaded Beck's breakout hit Loser back in 2003, he didn't pay for the track. The recording industry sued him. Today, the song's title might describe Tannenbaum's own situation.
Because this morning, the Supreme Court denied Tannenbaum's latest appeal in a very long-running court battle. The recent Boston University PhD graduate now faces a $675,000 fine for the 30 songs he downloaded almost a decade ago. Joining us is Tannenbaum's lawyer, Charles Nesson. He's professor of law at Harvard University and founder of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. Professor Nesson, welcome to Radio Boston.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So let me first ask you, I understand that the final damage award that Joel Tannenbaum faces hasn't yet been completely settled, but if it indeed is to be a fine of more than $600,000, what does that mean for Joel?
It means he's probably broke and bankrupt.
For quite some time. Well, let me ask you, overall, what do you make of the fact that the Supreme Court has officially sort of closed the book on this case?
Well, it isn't quite closed. And the Supreme Court has said that they're not interested in reviewing the issues that we present. And I'm terribly disappointed that I didn't succeed in showing them how important those issues are. But the fact is that we go back now to the district court, where Judge Zobel, to whom the case has been remanded, will consider whether to remit or reduce the verdict to something that she considers to be reasonable.
Hmm. And remind us what you think the most salient issue is. I mean, to a certain degree, this case has been so long running that the entire world of digital downloading and music has shifted beneath the feet of the case. So what is the most salient issue?
Well, it's really a question of fair play. Even if you think Joel did something wrong by being just like everyone else in the Napster nation of downloaders, even if you think that was wrong, the idea of using a federal civil process where the cost of the litigation makes it totally irrational for anyone to defend unless they're doing it just as we're doing it on a pro bono basis, and winding up charging a kid $675,000 for something that really he did literally in his bedroom with a piece of consumer electronic equipment that he'd bought, an internet connection that he paid for. I mean, the disproportion of the punishment to the actual offense, even if you feel it to be an offense, is so extraordinary that it's akin to approving waterboarding for torture. It's like death penalty for parking permits. It's like the idea of deterrence gone wild. And here, it's in a civil context. It's not even criminal.
Well, Professor Nesson, I hear your passion because, I mean, you have a long history of being at the vanguard of how technology changes the law. It changes our legal approach to disputes such as the one that you represented Joel Tannenbaum on. I mean, you are the founder of the famed Berkman Center for Internet and Society. So I understand that, like, this is something that you've been feeling and thinking about for quite some time. But I also read a quote from you a few years ago that you saw, maybe this is kind of what you were talking about, but you saw these cases that were brought 10 years ago by the recording industry on individuals as, quote, an attack on the digital native generation. Is that basically what you were how you saw them?
Yes. I mean, from their point of view, it was an educational campaign where they undertook to educate a generation of youth that music was something that you had to pay for. They were afraid that a whole generation would learn that music was something you didn't have to pay for.
Well, on that note, even though Joel Tannenbaum's case seems to have hit a brick wall vis-a-vis the Supreme Court today, in the end, given that the recording industry no longer actually brings these suits, given that, you know, millions and millions and millions of songs are downloaded and paid for legally on iTunes, and that it seems that as a society we're moving towards feeling more comfortable with even just renting music, and it's all based in the cloud and cloud computing, I wonder if you think that ultimately the digital native generation has actually been victorious over the efforts of the recording industry.
Well, it depends on what you mean. There's two ways of saying what you just said. The other way of saying it is that it's taken this long for the recording industry to figure out how to package and distribute their music in reasonable enough and accessible enough forms so that the general population is perfectly happy to buy them. And they have gotten there, but it's taken a long time. And in the transition period before they figured out their new business models, they just used the law as a bludgeon to hang on to the old model for just as long as they could. And yes, it's true, the RIAA has stopped as far as it's concerned, but other copyright holders have not stopped at all. This business of suing people who downloaded stuff on the net is now a big legal business.
Charles Nesson is a professor of law at Harvard University and the founder of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society. Professor Nesson, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.